Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing. Right there. Looks real good. Sober to God, Gary, good. CBG, Tony, yes, yes.
Okay, greetings for those of you who are joining us around the country. We want to welcome you tonight to our Phoenix Bible Conference. And I'm going to scan the room briefly here for your perusal, and we'll give you a better opportunity tomorrow when we broadcast from the Marriott Hotel in beautiful downtown Phoenix.
Gary says you're looking more Barney-ish. I don't know why.
Let's begin, if I can get everybody's attention. Look, if we could, let's open up a word of prayer. Father, we're certainly grateful to you for your wonderful word. We look forward to the things that you want us to hear this weekend. We ask that we hear only your words and not the words of the speakers. We are grateful to you that you brought us together. We're grateful to you that you do share your word and open our understanding to you through your Son. We're thankful for the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to what's ahead and look forward to your guidance. And these things we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have we're at my house this evening, and we have a small crowd of 20 or so people. But it's the perfect crowd because the Lord has saw fit to bring this group together. And we appreciate those who are joining us tonight. We know it's late for you, so we're going to try to move this as quickly as possible. I'm not going to take too much time, but just some quick announcements. Tonight we have two speakers, Travis Monroe from Surprise, Arizona, and Mr. Robert Gunther, TFT, from Lafayette, Indiana. Tomorrow morning, we will begin at 9:30 Pacific time. That would be 12:30 on the East Coast, and you guys figure out if you're in any other time zone what that is. But that's the first speaker will be Bob Gunther, and then Mike Meschikowski will follow. We'll break for lunch, then Mike will come back, and then after that, Ronnie McCurry will be our speaker. And then also join us on Sunday, same time, 9:30 Pacific time. And Mike will finish up that morning, and then I will speak also. So anyway, I don't think there's anything. We'll add some additional things tomorrow. But to keep things rolling here, I want to introduce our first speaker. It's a privilege for me to know this young man. I've seen him grow in the Lord. We were fortunate. Is it 11 years approximately?
It's been closer to like 14.
14 years.
15,
well.
Maybe.
Maybe 15. He came to us through Nathan Sharp. I believe Nathan met him where he was working. Yep. And in the period of time, you can give a little bit of testimony if you don't mind. And he joined our Bible study, has been faithful ever since. And I can tell you, he teaches, he's in our rotation of speakers here in Phoenix. And I can tell you, this guy's been doing some very deep thinking. It's very encouraging to see somebody grow like that and challenge each of us. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Travis Monroe. And I'm excited that Travis, this is his first time he's going to speak at our conference. So come on up, Travis.
Thank you. Like Barney said, my name's Travis, actually from Peoria, Arizona now, not surprised, only a few miles apart, but hail from Peoria now. A little bit of the testimony of mine, as he spoke about, Nathan did play definitely a big part in my coming to know this truth. Ultimately, we know, so we're going to look at further here today, it's God's work in our life, no one else's. God's hand is the one that's at work in our lives. So we're going to read about today. It's his faithfulness that brings us here. We're used as instruments sometimes for God's purposes, as we'll see again here tonight also. Something that's sort of unique to my situation is I was sort of saved into this truth. A lot of people in here, I don't think, were saved from being an unbeliever to this truth. So I count that as a blessing to myself. I'm thankful that the Lord chose me before the foundation of the world, and just glad to be here tonight amongst fellow ministers, but more than that, fellow heirs. We're all fellow heirs of the right hand of God, and that's something not to take lightly. We need to be thankful for that. As Barney said, this is my first time speaking, so I didn't want to rock the boat, per se, so I was thinking about what I would speak on, and I wanted it to be something I could speak with boldness, something that all of us would understand and would unite us as one, bring us all to be of one mind as we go through the rest of the conference, especially being the first speaker. So with that said, I tried to ask myself, what was I qualified to speak on? As I said, with boldness, what could I speak of? I soon found it out. And in all actuality, it's what brings us all here tonight. Every one of us are here for supposed different reasons. Some were invited, some felt obligated to be here, whatever. But more than anything, we're all here to be with like-minded individuals to look deeper into this word here. And ultimately, we're here because of his faithfulness. And that's what I want to speak upon today. And as I was telling the fellows earlier, that's probably one of the few things that I'm truly qualified to speak on is his faithfulness. We don't have a leg to stand on if it wasn't for his faith. So the underlying fact of why we're all here is because Christ is faithful. Not was, but is faithful. Even this second, Christ is faithful. God in his sovereignty placed us here tonight, and I want to speak about that, his faithfulness. Forget my faith, forget all of your faith. Sorry if that hurts your feelings. It's trivial compared to the faith of him. It's important, don't get me wrong. Our faithfulness, as we'll see at the end here, has to do with us attaining something. But God's purposes are being accomplished by Christ's faithfulness and the purpose of the ages. Not quite our hope and calling, but you don't have to turn there. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because he first loved us. In my life especially, I can tell you, I didn't go looking for God. The way that I feel, when it was time, God came and got me. In his own perfect timing, God came. There's nothing in this flesh that truly seeks God before he imparts something to us. So we need to keep that close to our hearts. I know it's not our hope and calling, but when it says that we love because he first loved us, look at when he loved us. And that brings a whole new meaning to just reading that verse. We love Him because He loved us before we were ever a thought in anyone's mind. So from the start, we need to recognize the movement of God in our lives, especially in our hope and calling. He knew us from old. Let us have confidence in what Philippians 1:6 says. If you would, turn there. Philippians chapter 1, the 6th verse. We're just going to read some verses here in different places and pull out God's faithfulness and show a pattern here. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, or trusting in this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Confident and trusting in this very thing. I ask you, where is our faith found in this verse? It's not there. You're not going to find anything to do with our faith in that verse there. Our confidence, like everything else should be, is found in the good work and the performance of Christ, in Christ alone, what He's done. We ask when this work was begun. Well, let's just say that it was way before our time that God put us in His purpose and began His good work. Turn with me to Philippians 2:13, a couple pages over. I'm going to read another verse. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. As we know from Ephesians 1, that God's very purpose is according to His good pleasure, His good will. Imagine if you can, that somehow, us in this room, we give God pleasure somehow. That's really hard to fathom. But when God purposes something and accomplishes it through our Lord Christ Jesus, He's very pleased with what He's doing. And He's going to accomplish what He set out to do. But I can tell you, He is very pleased in this work that He's accomplishing in our lives, coming from going from sinful flesh that we are right now to being set at the right hand, to being holy and without blame, to be made meet. When you read those kind of words, it's not just like you're reading a book. We're being made fit to be at the right hand of God. And that just really gets me excited when I think about that. Having boldness and access. How can we have that other than through His faithfulness? We need to please take ourselves out of this equations. Ourselves and our abilities, we need to set them aside. We're not faithful. There's no guarantee of performance in our faith. Turn over to the 9th verse of Philippians 3. Again, we're going to read of the faithfulness of Christ. I'm going to read Philippians 3:9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by His faithfulness, or by faith. There's so much meat surrounding this verse right here. It's hard to just take this verse and try to talk about what we're thinking upon here. But I want you to realize that all the other verses are made possible or able to stand because of this verse. Because of the faithfulness of Christ. Our righteousness is only a product of His faithfulness. Amen. Nothing more, nothing less. It's His faithfulness. And I can tell you that the power of resurrection is found in nothing less than the faithfulness of Christ. He's the firstborn from the dead. It's by Him being that firstborn from the dead that we have any hope of resurrection. Amen. And that's where the power is found. Again, in the last verse of chapter 3 of Philippians, again speaks of this faithfulness. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his body of glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Again, I want to ask ourselves, what's this according to? Is it according to if we're faithful? Is it according to if we attain something? If we learn so much about this hope and calling? It's not about any of that. It's according to the working of the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one. It says right there, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's all-powerful right there. When you read that right there, he's a, all things are subject unto God. And our hope is secured by this power, by the omnipotent one, the one of whom all things are subjected unto. There's a power at work in our lives that is exceedingly abundant above all that we can imagine. There was a purpose given unto us here, before the world began, it says in 2 Timothy 1:9. I can tell you right now that when God purposes something, it's going to come about just as He purposes it. If anyone here denies that, I beg to differ. And if anyone tries to tell me that that's not the case, let's all go home right now, because our God is all-powerful. He knows what He's doing. It's not according to our works, but His own purpose and grace given to us unto us by the faithfulness of Christ before the world began, it says in 2 Timothy. How many of us know that Christ was faithful even before the world began? He was foreordained even before the world. How many of us realize that Christ, being God, laid His glory by that He might come and fulfill the purposes of God, God's eternal purpose, purpose of the ages? Turn with me to Ephesians 3. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Ephesians 3. Verses 1 through 12. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs unto the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power." There's that power again. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God," according to what? It's that purpose that we were talking about here, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's purpose is being accomplished through Christ and His faithfulness. And look at our stand in the last verse, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faithfulness of Him." It doesn't get any plainer than that. God has an eternal purpose, purpose of the ages, that's being accomplished through the faithfulness of Christ. And that's where our stand is. And nothing's going to change God's purpose. So that's where our confidence stands. again in verse 7, how was Paul made a minister ultimately? Ultimately, it was by the effectual working of his power. None of us can add anything to God's effectual working of his power. There's power multiplied right there. I believe personally that this particular power is unique to our hope and calling. It has to do, I personally think, with our special call to suffer as Christ suffered, but yet we're given this power to be able to stand. Just as I believe our witness is the principalities and powers, it's all comes as a package. And I want to say, fellow members, as far as I can see, that power is still at work in our lives right now. I don't see any change in application, dispensation. This power is working in our lives as fellow members of his body. There's no other way that we'd be able to say verse 12. We want to claim certain things like boldness and access. You can't say that unless it's powers that work in our lives. There's no confidence in the flesh. There's a tremendous purpose at hand. And it has to do with more than just you and I that are sitting here right now. It has to do with us, as it says in verse 10, making known the manifold wisdom of God unto principalities and powers. I can't give you all the details of what exactly that means, but it's pretty deep. For us to be able to show some angelic creatures the manifold wisdom of God, how can you explain that? I mean, that's tremendous, just trying to fathom it and then fathom that we're used for that purpose. Like I said, I don't know all the details about that, but there's a tremendous purpose behind it. And God in His omniscience hasn't left this work to mankind only to accomplish. As I've said before, Israel failed in their call to be a priestly nation. We know that. We know that they're in a period right now of Lo Hamai. The church, which is His body, will not fail in their purpose, and their purpose of making known the manifold wisdom of God. We're guarded against that failure because of the faithfulness of Christ. We need to realize that first and foremost, that it's Christ's faithfulness, and then realize that this power that's at work in our lives, this effectual working of His power, then we can truly be confident. The one who works all things after the counsel of His own will is in control. All things, as I said, are subject unto Him. And I just want to close with looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I find myself going to these verses often. Some of my favorite verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. It's a faithful saying. There's a few of them in our hope and calling, where we'll again see that it's His faithfulness that we stand upon. But we'll also see that there's an opportunity for us to be faithful, as I spoke about. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. It is a faithful saying, or faithful is a saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Amen. As I said before, God's purpose is being accomplished by Christ's faithfulness alone. He doesn't need mankind to accomplish His purposes. Christ came, and He's going to make sure that His purposes are accomplished. It will come to pass whether we're faithful or not. The outcome is not dependent upon us, but that doesn't mean that we're not to care. We need to be faithful, as it says in here. We have an opportunity to reign with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. That has to do with our walk life, our faithfulness. And this is dependent upon our faithfulness. So with that said, I just want to close with these words, that He abideth faithful. he doesn't change. We change every day because we're in the flesh and up and down, topsy-turvy, but God's faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to keep that in mind as we go through this conference, that we're here because of His faithfulness. Everything that everyone speaks upon can all fall back upon that He was faithful in His choosing of us long ago. And also to let us be striving to be faithful also. With that, I want to just close in a little word of prayer. And then, Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to present Your Word. Thank You, most of all, for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your Word that's alive, Heavenly Father, and the teaching that You give us. I just ask that You be with us in this rest of this conference. Help us all be of one mind, and may there be power here in this room, Heavenly Father, that effectual working that we read about in Your Word that's even at work amongst us now. I trust that You'd be with us here and the words that are said, and ask that You'd be glorified in everything we ask in our Lord's very gracious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.